This is an interview with Robert Rose for the Youngstown State University Canfield Fair Project by Carrie Stanton at the Administration Building at the Fairgrounds on May 17th, 1983 at approximately 10 a.m.
Okay. Usually we start with your family background, or, you know, your personal background. Where you were born, kind of thing.
Okay. Well, I was, of course, born in Canfield. I've lived in Canfield all my life. Spent all of my teenage life about 500 yards from the fairground. I worked on the gates at the fairground when I was 14 years old, probably the youngest, one of the youngest that ever sold tickets at the fair, when there were only a couple gates to admission into the fair.
Uh-huh.
And I've had, my father was connected with the bank in town, and they used to pick the money up at the gates back years ago and take the money to the town. That was before we had a bank on the grounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to ride with them as a youngster, and have always enjoyed the fair. And mm-hmm. when the opportunity arised in 1954, I became a director. And was probably one of the youngest directors ever to come on the board. I was only 28 years mm-hmm. old at the time.
Yeah, someone did tell me that you were the youngest.
And today, with Mr. Schaefer and myself, we comprise the oldest in service on the board.
Really?
29 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been around a while. I've seen a lot of good men come and a lot of good men go.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a job of dedication. There is very compensation to it, so
mm-hmm.
it's been a fun, and I've enjoyed every minute of it.
Good.
Both on the state, of which I'm treasurer of the state High Fair Managers Association
mm-hmm.
now, and I enjoyed every bit of it. And
good.
You meet some fine people in Fairwood.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you spent your early years in Canfield.
Yes, all my life I've been in Canfield.
Did you go to school around?
Yes, Canfield High School,
mm-hmm.
and later went on to the service, and after the service went to college, Ohio State and Youngstown University.
Mm-hmm.
Then got married like everybody else and went to work. So,
uh-huh.
And I've worked at the Farmers National Bank here in town, and also Farmers Savings and Loan Company, and now for First Federal. We just merged with First Federal at the end of the year. So
mm-hmm.
we are now First Federal, and mm-hmm. I've been in the banking business practically all my life. And
isn't there Farmers National anymore?
Yes, Farmers National.
Oh.
Farmers Savings merged with First Federal in December.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I was elected treasurer of the fair board in, when Mr. Kilcolly died in 1959.
Mm-hmm.
A great man and a dedicated man to the
mm-hmm.
fair. And he's one reason we have a bank on the fairground.
Mm-hmm.
He thought we should have a bank here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have been treasurer since 1959, except
mm-hmm.
for a short time, one year there when I was president in 64 and 65.
Mm-hmm. When did they start the bank on the fair?
That would have been about 1957, in that
mm-hmm.
general area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What did they do before that?
Well, they used to take it to, right, they'd pick the money up at the gate and take it right to the fairground.
Oh.
Right to the bank downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Farmers
mm-hmm.
National always handled it.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And so they go down to the gate periodically, pick the money up and take it downtown
mm-hmm.
and count it. And
did they ever have any problems then?
You always had, you know, a scare that somebody would have a tip that they were going to
mm-hmm.
be robbed or something.
Mm-hmm.
But in handling a lot of money, we never had really any problems
mm-hmm.
at all. And we always had police escort.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a very smooth operation.
Mm-hmm.
But it's much smoother today
yeah.
because we do have the bank undergrounds and the armored car picking
mm-hmm.
up the gates and so
mm-hmm.
forth. And
mm-hmm. Works better that way.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had charge of, when I first came on the board, a fellow by the name of Mockerman from North Jackson was on the board, and he, I don't know whether he retired or died, but anyway, they gave me the police department. And I had the police department from 55 to 57 for a couple
mm-hmm.
of years.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, we only had, I'd say, a dozen police at the most on the grounds today. Mm-hmm. I don't know, there's probably five times that mm-hmm. many.
Mm-hmm.
And I had two crews, a night crew and a day crew, and it was a very simple operation compared to the problems mm-hmm. we have today and mm-hmm. with the people we have today.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 57, Mr. Milligan died. He was a director, Bert Milligan.
Mm-hmm.
Had charge of harness racing, and when he passed away, I thought I'd take the harness racing if they so desired, so they gave me the harness racing. And I had the harness racing mm-hmm. up then until 1968
mm-hmm.
for 10 years there, mm-hmm. and have had grandstand attractions ever since mm-hmm. For about mm-hmm. 15, it's my 15th year in grandstand mm-hmm. attractions. So.
Can we get back to the harness racing?
Sure.
I don't know too much about harness
mm-hmm.
racing. They pay.
We have power mutual wagering,
yeah.
yes,
mm-hmm.
and work on a percentage with the mutual handler, and usually it's a 50-50 mm-hmm. year. 40-60 or something, whatever mm-hmm. you come up with in your contract with your mutual man. And after the payoffs and so forth,
mm-hmm.
you work on that mm-hmm. percentage. It's about, I think at the time they were working on 17.5%. So mm-hmm. if you split that 50-50, you'd be getting about 8.5%.
Mm-hmm.
You don't make a lot of money on harness racing at fairs, but it's a necessary thing. If you want a complete rounded fair, you
mm-hmm.
have to have a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we think we do here at Canfield, mm-hmm. and it's proven over the years that people enjoy it, and
mm-hmm.
Just
mm-hmm.
like the horse pulling and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a combination of things that we have here that make a good rounded fair.
So the harness racing is a success here.
It breaks even, let's put
mm-hmm.
it that way. You don't make a lot of money on
mm-hmm.
it because of the purses you have to pay and so forth.
Yeah.
But it's,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Brown handles that department now and has since I gave it up. And,
mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm. and then you were talking about the grandstand.
Yes, we're in a process right now. Usually by June 1st, we like to have everything set to go. In fact, as of this morning, I'm ready to go on my advertising for the fair attractions this year, and we'll be starting selling grandstand tickets. And
mm-hmm.
we at Canfield here have not gone to the one price that a lot of fairs have over the state and all over the country. And that's one price you pay at the gate and you get everything.
Mm-hmm.
We feel if we're going to give them something worthwhile, why give it away? And
mm-hmm.
The grandstand shows cost a lot of money. Our budget
mm-hmm.
this year is going to be in the neighborhood of $150,000, and so we've got to pay for it some way, and so
mm-hmm.
we do sell tickets to
mm-hmm.
shows, and
mm-hmm.
We think we have a good lineup again this year, and
mm-hmm.
hope we can sell a lot of tickets.
They would have to charge quite a bit more at the gate, I would think, if they didn't
yes,
charge
yeah, yeah. You have to offset it someplace,
yeah.
and I just... I'm a firm believer
mm-hmm.
that we stick to what has been a success
mm-hmm.
for us, and why change when
mm-hmm.
you are a success.
Have they ever thought of going to just the one price?
No, we never have.
Uh-huh.
No, no.
I think, isn't Trumbull County?
Trumbull is.
Yeah, Ohio State
here. Ohio State is.
Uh-huh.
Of course, this was Mr. Rhodes, one of Jim Rhodes' favorite programs,
mm-hmm.
is that one price. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know if whether I'll ever go back or not. It's pretty hard to go back after you've
mm-hmm.
gone to one price.
Mm-hmm.
And so we figure we're going to stay with
mm-hmm.
the way we have it.
Mm-hmm. They've always done it this way?
We have, yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The state, in the last 2 or 3 years, they've just gone to one price.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Trumbull just had the last couple of years, too.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
But,
so usually by this time of the year, you have the grandstand show.
We have it all. We hope to have it all lined up by the 1st of June, so we have a couple months to sell tickets.
Uh-huh.
And hope to have it about sold out by show time,
mm-hmm.
or by fair time. And,
oh.
But it's nice to have that money in the bank in case you get
mm-hmm.
bad weather.
How long have they been doing that, selling the tickets ahead of time?
Oh, for approximately 15 years.
Oh, have
yeah,
they?
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. We used to have a lot of thrill shows here, and we still do end up Monday night with a thrill
mm-hmm.
show. This is a thrill show community or area, and it seems as though you go into some areas that thrill shows will sell and some won't. Mm-hmm. In this particular area, people love thrill shows.
Mm-hmm.
This used to be a great auto racing community also.
Yeah.
And so you have to kind of weigh the community, see what it is, and mm-hmm. it's good country music area also,
mm-hmm.
and with Ponderosa Park out here. So we buy a lot of country shows,
mm-hmm.
and they make you money, and you have to go with something that makes money.
Yeah.
I mean,
you ever have trouble with people, you know, not fulfilling the contract?
Oh, we've had cancellations,
uh-huh.
yes. When you're dealing with artists, you'll run into that. It's always in their contract that,
mm-hmm.
If they should get sick,
mm-hmm.
or making a movie or something like
mm-hmm.
that, they can cancel on you.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had them cancel on the last, last minute.
Mm-hmm.
And that sends you into quite a... a problem at that time, because we work on Labor Day weekend, and of course it's tough. That's one of the most popular weekends
mm-hmm.
for artists who are out traveling, and it's hard to pick up somebody.
Well,
that,
what do you do?
Well, you get a hold of your agent first
mm-hmm.
thing, or your agent gets a hold of you and say, hey, just like we had Willie Nelson cancel on us, and
mm-hmm.
There was only a few people out there that could take Willie's place.
Mm-hmm.
And so we wanted Waylon Jennings, because we knew that he was the same type of singer could fill the bill. And
mm-hmm.
We had a lot of tickets sold. We had
mm-hmm.
about $80,000 worth of tickets sold for Willie. So we bent over backwards and had to even fly him in
mm-hmm.
from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, on a special plane
mm-hmm.
in order for him, because he had a date down there. And it's a lot of finagling has to be
mm-hmm.
done. And and you're at their mercy, really, because... they can almost ask anything, and
mm-hmm.
you've got to pay it. We lost money on that show because
mm-hmm.
of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's it's not easy when they cancel. And you always keep your fingers crossed that they're not going to get sick or something happens.
Yeah, I think last year Marie Osmond was...
She got sick.
Mm-hmm.
The year before, Willie Nelson got sick. Back a few years ago, B.J. Thomas had a problem. And
mm-hmm.
And all they need to get is a doctor to write a little... note saying that they're ill and can't perform.
Uh-huh.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
And so they can get out of their contract very easily if they
mm-hmm.
want to.
Mm-hmm. Do you have to deal with these people personally?
No, I don't. We deal through an agent.
Mm-hmm.
We deal with Klein's Attractions out of Chicago. And of course, I'm on the phone, not
mm-hmm.
constantly, but with him periodically, and we
mm-hmm.
discuss who's available
mm-hmm.
and what's the price going to be
mm-hmm.
and et cetera. And, try to come up with something that's
mm-hmm.
going to sell tickets. That's the name of the game, is fill
mm-hmm.
the grandstand.
Yeah.
And we don't particularly want to make money on the shows. What I do is scale the house. I know what the show is going to cost, so I'll figure out how many seats we have
mm-hmm.
and scale the house accordingly, about a three-quarter house, so that if we get a full house, we make a few dollars.
Mm-hmm.
If we get a three-quarters house, we break even.
Mm-hmm.
And It has worked pretty well, and as I say, we don't want to make money on it. We just want to break even, because they're paying to get into the front gate also.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I figure that is helping out, and it has worked very well over the years. And,
I understand that they ask for some strange things in their contracts.
Yes,
do you remember any strange ones?
Well, for one thing, whether you condone it or not, most of them like to drink. And they will specify the brand and the amount and
mm-hmm.
so forth you have to have
mm-hmm.
there for them. Also, some of them here back a few years ago, Johnny Cash and his contract, we had to serve him a dinner. And they even got down to the fact that it had to be linen napkins and crystal and et cetera. And that's pretty hard to do at
mm-hmm.
a fairground in the middle of the racetrack. You know, it's... But we put it on for
mm-hmm.
him, and
mm-hmm.
ever since then, the contracts seem to specify this dinner bit, and they'll name the type of,
mm-hmm.
As I say, beverage they want, and you have
mm-hmm.
to have it there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a must.
Mm-hmm.
And, because any time that they put something in a contract and you renege on it, they can walk off that stage, and you still have to pay them.
Yeah.
And you haven't fulfilled your contract,
mm-hmm.
and so it's almost a must that you fulfill that contract,
mm-hmm.
just as it states.
Mm-hmm.
So. There's been some odd, I remember back, oh, this is years ago, and you probably remember Peggy King. She was with George Gobel back years ago, and we had Peggy King here. And I put her on after a monkey act, and she was very upset, and in fact, she almost walked off the stage because she did not want to follow a monkey act. Well, at that time, Gobel was dickering whether he was going to give her a new contract for the next year, and of course, she was upset with that, and and plus this monkey thing, and she was, she was hard to handle, and most of them are a little hard to handle. The artist is not necessarily hard to handle, but it's his agent. They're agents. Agents are tough, and they look out after their star, and they, so a lot of them are tough to handle. Then, too, they get into it. We are fortunate here that we have a very good sound system. We spend a lot of money on sound, and we have good facilities, a good stage, good lighting, everything. But over the country, they run into a lot of areas that don't have these facilities. Consequently, they're on edge all the time of what they're going to run into. They don't know whether Canfield has this or that. It's quite an experience.
Do you get mostly people that are on the fair circuit, you know, that will maybe go to the Ohio State Fair and fly up here and then go somewhere else?
Yes, a lot of them. The agent tries to, if he knows that I'm interested, for instance, in Willie Nelson or Engelbert Humperdinck, who we're going to have this year, he'll try to line up Syracuse, New York, or Michigan, or someplace, Ohio State Fair, and put a circuit together so that these artists aren't jumping around, and he can buy them better if he can line up four or five stops.
Is it cheaper for you that way, too?
Yes, we get a little better deal on a contract, so you have to take a lot of these things into consideration when you're and also, as I say, we're dealing with, people ask me, why don't we get so-and-so? Well, we're dealing with just about, Labor Day and two or three days there that we have to, the artist has to be available those two or three days. I can't put him on like Ponderosa can get, say, Alabama, and put him on in June. I have to have him available on Saturday, Sunday, or Monday on Labor Day weekend. So consequently, it's tough to get the artist you might want, because he could be, you know, booked someplace else or doing a movie or something. But so that makes it a little tough.
Since you were head of this, you've always had agents?
Yes, yeah, we've always booked through an agent. That's about the only, it's very, very time consuming, and of course, the agent puts the show together as far as the MC goes, the band, the lighting and everything, see that it comes off like it should. And so we've always worked with us through an agent. And there's a lot of work on his part. And they bring in the, we furnish the stage, but they bring in the backdrops and so forth, and more or less make a production out of it.
Did you have anything to do with the Pioneer Village, the Western Reserve Village?
Well, yeah, we had to change the name because someone out in Des Moines, Iowa, someplace sued us because we were going to sue us, rather, because he had the name Pioneer Village franchised. And yes, back in 1964, when I was president of the Fair Board, I had in my mind that I wanted to create a village on the grounds, and like a pioneer village. At that particular time, there was a building became available in the city of Canfield called the Elijah Whittlesey Law Office, or Law Record Office. The Women's Club of Canfield owned the building. It had been given to them, and they were going to move it into the center of the park, and some of the townspeople were against it in the center of the park and so forth. So they offered it to us at the fairground here. A group of us on the board decided it would be a great idea, and I came up with this sketch of this little village that I thought we could build down here in the southwest corner of the grounds. And so we contacted Mr. Klempe of in Canfield here to move it, and he moved it down in 1964. Mm-hmm. And this was the start of our Pioneer Village, our Western mm-hmm. Reserve Village. From there, we found one of the directors came in and said, I know where there's a log cabin down by Salem. So he and I went down and looked at it. We got the log cabin, got Klempe to move it in. Mm-hmm. And that same year, the Erie Railroad gave up their station here in Canfield, mm-hmm. and it became available for $1.
Mm-hmm.
So we acquired all three
$1?
So we acquired all three of those buildings in 1 year. Mm-hmm. In the first year, it was a real mess down there, but because we moved them in a hurry, and mm-hmm. They weren't on the foundations yet or anything. Mm-hmm. But it was the start of a very successful, a very beautiful village.
Mm-hmm.
We have, at the present time, 10 buildings on that grounds down there. And with an investment of way over $100,000, we have at least $60,000 in landscaping. And but it has been a labor of love. About, I think it was around 1965, Gibb James came on the board, and Gibb and I have worked together on that village down there ever since. And it's kind of our baby, I guess you'd call it. And all of the buildings there have some historic value. There are no reproductions at all, and we have a little history on each one of them, and we have a little pamphlet we give out, and we hire some girls to man them doing the fair in costume, mm-hmm. and it has worked out beautifully. And about the time we were putting this village all together, they dismantled the old Mahoning County home up on Herbert Road.
Oh.
And so we got a lot of material from there, some brick for the walks down there, mm-hmm. and some stone and woodwork and so forth. Mm-hmm. And we were also lucky in having a contractor here in town by the name of Buzz Rice. And he and his assistant worked two or three summers down there and did the necessary carpenter work to put mm-hmm. all this together.
Mm-hmm.
And it has really been a fun thing, and it's a real asset to the mm-hmm. Canfield Fair. Mm-hmm. And then in 1976, we built the Carriage Museum. Back in about, it must have been around 64 or 65 also, I knew there were some 4 carriages available in Mahoning Sanitary District. Mahoning Valley Sanitary District had 4 carriages that they had acquired from an old barn that stood out on the sanitary district. And so I wrote a letter to Mr. Kidston, Irv Kidston at the time, who was with the Dollar Bank and also on the board of the Mahoning Valley Sanitary District, mm-hmm. asking them to donate them to the fair, which he took up with the board, and they did.
Mm-hmm.
So we acquired 4 beautiful carriages at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And we built that into about a collection of 22 carriages. We have the Cochran collection from Youngstown, and George Bishop had 4 or 5 carriages that he gave us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have, as I say, built that into 22 carriages. We used to house them in a tent back then. And in 76, of course, mm-hmm. we built the Carriage Museum, which is a lovely building also. Mm-hmm. We, a few years ago, we stored all of them. Had a fellow out in the Amish country take a couple up at a time and do them, and we spent around $12,000 to restore them.
Mm-hmm.
And he has done a magnificent job on them, and we just were well pleased with our show down there. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting. A lot of people go through there every year. It's a great building for a carriage museum.
Mm-hmm.
And someday, maybe we hope to have put an extension on it or something, and have a few antique cars mm-hmm. and maybe an old fire truck or something mm-hmm. in there. And,
that's good.
And Gibb and I now are working on a project to bring a steam engine in. The board has okayed it. It's just a question of getting it here now. It weighs 90 tons. It's sitting on a siding at the High Edison plant in Niles.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say, we've got Conrail, we're talking to Conrail about moving it down here for us, and mm-hmm. then Mr. Klempe is going to move it onto the grounds, and I think it'll be something that kids in the future will enjoy looking in, enjoy having a picture taken up and taken up in a cab, mm-hmm. and we'll put it along with the caboose in front of the station down mm-hmm. there. It's a big old mm-hmm. iron horse, as you can understand, with 90 tons.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it costs a lot of money to do these things.
Yeah.
We figure it's going to cost about $25,000 to get this in
mm-hmm.
and get it
mm-hmm.
in some restorable condition.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a big operation. It takes a lot of money to run it when you
mm-hmm.
figure you've got all the buildings we have here in the grounds. And
it must be quite expensive just to move the buildings. When you moved them?
Yeah, well, it's getting more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
When we first started back in the 60s, we figured about $4,000 a building.
Mm-hmm. Do they have to move all the wires and the roof?
It depends on the height of the building, yes. You know, we tried, and we could have had it, the old St. James Church in Boardman.
Mm-hmm.
You
could?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
We were the first to look at it, and
mm-hmm.
Gib and I went over there, it's back years ago, and when it stood up there on 220, on 7,
mm-hmm.
In front of the mall. And we had a price from Mr. Klumpy of $25,000 to move it. But it was so high that without cutting it in two or something, we'd have to move a lot of wires. And we had a price from telephone company in Edison of another $25,000
mm-hmm.
just to
mm-hmm.
move wires. So we would have had an investment of about $50,000 in that church.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been gorgeous to have down in
mm-hmm.
our village, and we'd love to have had it,
mm-hmm.
but it just became a cost item that
mm-hmm.
We couldn't afford.
Do you keep the village open during the year?
It's open whenever anybody wants to tour it. Yes,
mm-hmm.
at the moment, with starting about the last of April, first part of May, a lot of school groups go through, and Mr. Bear from the fairground here will take an appointment
mm-hmm.
and take them through.
Mm-hmm.
And. But other than that, unless it's a special
mm-hmm.
occasion, by appointment
mm-hmm.
only, we open it.
You don't advertise that it's there.
No, we
it seems
don't.
A shame that it just sits there.
Yes, it is. It's but there again, to man it would probably take a lot of money. And we do have it's a lot of upkeep to it. There's a lot of painting, and there's a lot of upkeep
mm-hmm.
to it. I just hope that in future years, the boards will continue to keep it up, as it's something that it's going to be it is an asset and will be more of an asset in later years.
Do you ever have trouble with vandals down there?
Very little. It seems to go in streaks. We'll have a few windows broken now and then, but very little we've had stolen. I think I can count the items on one hand that we've had stolen.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. We don't have more.
Yeah.
The latest thing that we had one of these old hitchings posts given to us by Josephine Kyle, one of the old steel or whatever it was hitching posts,
mm-hmm.
and we had it planted in the ground. Somebody just backed in and hooked onto it and pulled it right out and took it. So, but we're very lucky. We have had very little
mm-hmm.
vandalism.
Mm-hmm. Do you have plans to get more buildings?
We would like, we're kind of restricted on space down
mm-hmm.
there, but someday we would
mm-hmm.
like to maybe get a barber shop
mm-hmm.
or something small.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we can ever get as large a building as that St. James Church was
mm-hmm.
in there now. No, we couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have to.
I was driving past Westlake Crossing the other day.
Mm-hmm.
You know they still have that monkey's nest thing there.
Oh, is there?
Yeah. That would be great up there.
Yeah. We, talking about driving past, I was on my way to Columbus one day, and I happened to stop at a light in North Jackson. And I looked to the right, and there was a building there that would make a beautiful country store. It was, and that's how I got the country store.
Mm-hmm.
So I approached the lodge out there that owned it, and we got it very reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an old country store
mm-hmm.
years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Gib and I probably had more fun putting that store together. We moved that in the 1st of August, and I can't remember the year, but by the end of August, fair time, we had that fully stock, and
where'd you get the
it just happened about that same time. Our timing was very good on most of the buildings down there, that the Manchester company, hardware store in Canfield, went out of business. Mm-hmm. And also the Jones Hardware in Jackson went out of business about the same year. So we went in and they sold everything at auction, and we bought counters and we bought different things that could outfit a hardware store, an old country store. And we were very, very fortunate. The old ladders that they used to crawl up to get stuff off the shelves, we got those out of Manchester's Hardware down there. And a lot of the shelving and so forth. And we were very, very fortunate that...
And the drugstore?
We have a drugstore more or less in the doctor's office.
Uh-huh.
And that was an old doctor's office at Dr. Patton's office in North Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the latest building that we've moved into.
When you moved that, you just left everything in it?
There wasn't too much in it. We had to, of course, buy the things that were in it.
Mm-hmm.
But and the schoolhouse came from the... out here on North Road, where Leffingwell Hills Country Club now stands, and it was an old one-room schoolhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And that the wainscoting was still there. We had to get the desks back and put them in. But other than that, most of these buildings are just as they were years ago. Well, all of them are just as they were years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
But it's been a fun thing to put together.
Mm-hmm. What else have you done? I know you've done more than that.
Well, yes, I, of course...
did you start the talent show?
I didn't start it, but I do handle it right now. I take care of the talent show down there.
That must be a real job, getting everything done.
I use mostly these baton and talent... classes, schools, or whatever you want to call them, they put on the shows. Get about, I think there's 8 of them all together, and we divide the days up. They draw for their day, and it's up to them whatever they want to put on.
Mm-hmm.
And they do, they put on a good show down there, and they usually go for 3 or 4 hours, and it's something, as I said earlier, you have to have a little bit of everything. And the parents, of course, enjoy it. Some of the parents are a little tough to get along with if a youngster doesn't win something. But it's one of those things you have to have. And we're glad we have it. And it creates an interest. And, and the kids enjoy performing at the fair.
Mm-hmm.
They look forward to it. And,
but, who started that, Mr. Schaefer?
Talent? Yeah. No, I think dates back maybe before Homer, my time even. Billy Earhart had charge of it, not as a director, but Billy kind of ran it years ago for the fair board.
Mm-hmm.
And
we were talking about him the other day. Is he still alive?
I think he is.
He
lives in California. Diane, his daughter, moved to California. I think he and his wife followed her.
Mm-hmm. No, they used to live in Poland.
Yes, she tried to break into the show business, and I guess she did some small time stuff out there. But but I have enjoyed my 29 years so far, and gosh, I can remember back when. We bought 80 acres on the Wetmore Farm down here south of the fairgrounds where we park cars now. If we hadn't bought that 80 acres, and it was amazing, you know, some of the directors had to be sold on that. They didn't think we needed that 80 acres.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we paid $600 an acre for it. And then Wetmore even carried us on a time bid on it so we didn't have to pay it all at once.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, when I came on the board, I think we only had a little over 100 acres. And, you know, we've grown to about 353 acres or something like that now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's getting to be a mammoth fairgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very lucky that we're not hemmed in. A lot of fairgrounds find themselves hemmed in the city, you know, and they mm-hmm. just can't expand.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
we're very fortunate.
Like Trimble County.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think also when I came on the board in the 50s, when they had about 18, less than 20 buildings, and of course now we have over 70 buildings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, it's, you run into a maintenance problem. It takes a lot of money each year
yeah.
to for
yeah.
the upkeep of the buildings, the roads, everything. It's
when do you think the fair started getting bigger?
Back in the 50s.
Uh-huh.
I think when, we had some, I don't know whether I want to say younger fair board directors come
uh-huh.
on, but some a little more energetic maybe, and Mr. Blunt and myself, and Homer at the time. Homer's been a real asset as a director, and we've pushed to expand and grow and so
mm-hmm.
forth. And we've been very lucky. A lot of fairs over the country, especially in the last few years, have run into trouble financially. And
mm-hmm.
We've been fortunate. We've always had a rain account in case of
mm-hmm.
bad weather. Kept a little back just to, you know, when you're dealing with 5 days, and
yeah.
If you had 5 days of rain,
mm-hmm.
you can, because you still have that expenditure and
mm-hmm.
nothing coming in the front gate
yeah.
if you'd have
yeah.
bad weather. So
yeah.
We've always been very fortunate to have conservative directors, yet directors that would look to the future and,
mm-hmm.
And expand. And
you've always finished in the black, never in the red.
We've lost money a few
uh-huh.
years, yes. We've
uh-huh.
lost money, but not that much.
Mm-hmm.
And But I can remember back some of the directors we had, like Mr. Bishop, and George Bishop was, he would let, you'd be in a meeting and you'd be talking about doing this or doing that or something, and then George would wait till the last few minutes and then he'd throw in his 2 cents worth,
mm-hmm.
and it'd change your mind just like that. And he had a way about it. If he was a very, very good director,
uh-huh.
and when he spoke, everybody listened.
Mm-hmm.
He was like E.F. Hutton. and of course, Mr. Kilcolly was a very good director,
mm-hmm.
and Mr. Milligan, and these names were on the board when I came on,
mm-hmm.
and Mr. Burton, and
mm-hmm.
Vernon Krause, who had charge of the horse pull back then, a fine director, Mr. Heinzelman, who had charge of concessions back then.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, everybody back then remembers Mr. Ziger, who was secretary,
mm-hmm.
and he was almost Mr. Canfield Fair.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
So I've seen some very, very dedicated and good men come and go, and it's been a privilege and an honor for me to serve as a
mm-hmm.
director. And as I said earlier, I've enjoyed every bit of it. And,
do you think that's why the fair is such a success?
I think so. We've been very fortunate to be able to pick, shall I say, men for particular jobs that everybody has a certain department,
mm-hmm.
and we don't, as other directors, meddle into their department that
mm-hmm.
much. We figure that they know more about it than we do.
Mm-hmm.
And consequently, like the cattleman knows more about cattle than I do, and probably anybody else on board, because we've more or less picked him for that particular job.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
The horse racing, and also draft horses, etc. And we've been a very good working board together,
mm-hmm.
and so it's a combination of things that have made the fair as great
mm-hmm.
as it is, and gosh, we're known all over the country, you know, and not bragging in any sense, but you go almost any place and you mention Canfield Fair,
mm-hmm.
They know who you are,
mm-hmm.
and especially in the fair business,
mm-hmm.
in the entertainment business,
mm-hmm.
they know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been active on international and also state level, and one of our directors, Mr. Jordan, was president of the state association, and
mm-hmm.
As I say, Grace was a director of the international one time. So
mm-hmm.
We've had a lot of exposure, not worldwide, but countrywide.
Yeah, yeah. When one of you becomes the president of the board.
Yes.
You still take care of
your department. Oh, yes.
Then what do? You kind of oversee?
Yes. As president, of course, you have charge of conducting the meetings and the kind mm-hmm. of the oversee of all the departments. Mm-hmm. You sit on every committee.
Mm-hmm.
And
that must be quite a job when you become
president. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. You have it for 2 years, mm-hmm. of course, and that's about as long as you want it. But it is. It's a time-consuming job.
Yeah,
and but when you have dedicated men like we have, it makes life easier for you. I mean,
mm-hmm.
If you know that the fellow's doing a good job in his department, you don't have to meddle into his affairs.
Mm-hmm.
You sit in on, as I say, in all committee meetings and so forth. But
time for your family.
Oh, you find time for that. You do it when you're young. So it's
That must be quite a job, though, when you're president.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. But it would give you a good overview.
It does. Yeah. It does. It gives you a good overview.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And we were fortunate here for years to have Mr. Homer Miller as our grounds superintendent.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept the grounds looking like it, your front yard every day.
Uh-huh.
And there again, you travel over the countryside and you see some of these fair. I remember years ago, I traveled up into Barrington, up east, and I was staying at a motel, and the owner, I said, I see you going to have a fair here. And he said, oh, yes, we're having a big fair next week. He said, we have a biggie up here. And I said, well, I'm very interested in fair work. And he said, well, the fairground's just outside of town, drive out. So I drove out, and the weeds were about knee-high, and they were going to have a fair there next week, you know. And there was no activity at all.
Mm-hmm.
And you come down here a month before fair time and you see all kinds of activity.
Mm-hmm.
And I never seen the weeds on this ground up over your ankle.
Mm-hmm.
And so we take pride in the fact
mm-hmm.
that we keep everything in mm-hmm. apple pie order. And, it's an asset to the county. I don't think the people in Mahoning County appreciate what they have. It's an asset to the county, and I think they should just appreciate
mm-hmm.
it more.
Mm-hmm. When I was driving in, I see they're adding on to the pumpkin barn.
Yes, we're putting a lean-to onto that, and
will you put in there more pumpkins?
I think Homer has the idea of filling it with more pumpkins. You know, Homer and his pumpkins.
Yeah.
He puts on one of the greatest pumpkin shows I think around.
Uh-huh.
And, so we're giving him a little more room down there to expand, and I'm sure he'll have no problem filling it. And,
uh-huh.
So there's, other than that, I don't know what other project we're going to get into this year.
Electrical.
We're doing some electrical. For years, we thought we would like to get away from the climbing of the poles for installing
mm-hmm.
electric to the concessions, and we would like to put in an underground system,
mm-hmm.
but it's very expensive,
mm-hmm.
and so we're going to it'll be a box system on the ground. It'll
mm-hmm.
be laying on the ground,
mm-hmm.
but this seems to be the next best thing to do, and
mm-hmm.
So we're going into some of that this year,
mm-hmm.
and eventually
mm-hmm.
we hope to have the whole grounds that way.
Mm-hmm.
And, so you keep progressing.
Anything else you'd like to add?
I don't know. I don't believe. I think we've covered a lot of
mm-hmm.
things.
Yeah, we have.
It's been enjoyable. I've enjoyed talking about
it. I've enjoyed these interviews so much.
I bet you have.
I have. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. Mm-hmm.